And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July 28th, 2018. It is Season 12, Episode 28. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And that's the roundup for today. Matt is not here. He is...
suffering.
Really? Likely.
Probably is, yeah.
Yeah, very much. Very much he is likely suffering and in immense amount of, I don't want to say pain,
heat.
But... just heat.
I just hope he stays hydrated throughout this whole thing, man.
He is at a baseball field right now,
mm-hmm.
in with a heat index hitting around 10 something. I don't know what our weather guy said there,
yeah,
but
the thermostat says 93, but it's 100 and something. It feels like 100 and something out there. Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at 94 right now, but the heat index is going to be a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
Depends
on, like I said, depends on the costume he's wearing, though.
Feels like 101 out there right now. And he is in a costume. He is on a baseball field in a costume in 101 degree, what feels like 101 degree weather. Inside his costume, knock it up another 15, 20 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
He hot. And we're going to let him stay there because we will have no part of that. I wish to not have any part of that heat. No, it is Star Wars night over at our local... Our local baseball team's event, Star Wars Night at the stadium. So that's where he is at. And apology, by the way, for those who were listening to the stream before we even started. I had volume completely turned down.
Mm.
Yeah. They didn't hear anything up until the actual show started there. They didn't hear a thing.
One day we'll get a perfect opening.
Completely my fault on that. You didn't hear the Zelda theme at the beginning. But, you know, you didn't hear any of that stuff before. Those who are listening on Twitch, I want to say that. If you were listening on the stream, you heard everything. But if you're listening on the Twitch stream, you didn't hear any of that. So, just a big apology there. So, being that it's just me, let me do this real quick. I don't even need to do this anymore, but let me do it. There, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Episode 28 on the 28th of July. Our final show for the month of July.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. You can go to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook at InGameChat. You can email us, everyone at InGameChat.net. Nobody does, but you're free to do it. We'll read it on the air if you let us. We're streaming right now on Twitch, twitch.tv, which I know a lot of people are probably watching the Overwatch League Grand Finals that are happening right now. Mm-hmm. That's actually being broadcast on television, too.
What, ESPN?
ESPN3.
Okay.
And it's also on Disney XD.
Disney, because Disney did play Evo Finals one year.
Yeah.
I remember that. That thing was last year.
Disney XD is broadcasting the Overwatch League Grand Finals right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that is that's happening.
Yeah, I thought usually they did it on ESPNU, the college groups.
Yeah,
I thought they usually fit their demographic though.
It's ESPN3 right now. ESPN2 will rerun it tonight at 8 o'clock Central.
All right,
ESPN2, and then tomorrow, one of the channels are having the highlights. They're going to show highlights.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who. Pretty big deal for the old video game esports.
Yeah, esports community. Is getting up there. Yeah,
yeah.
A lot of money in there, so yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the show, and what have we all been playing? RJ, let's start with you.
Played a little bit of Grand Theft Auto Online. They had the new, they dropped the new After Hours DLC, extra content put in there. Basically, you get to own a nightclub and use it to launder all your ill-gotten resources throughout the game.
Yeah,
I think one of the aspects of it is that you can use the nightclub to consolidate all your businesses. You can use it for warehouse storage for a lot of the other businesses, the smuggling and the smuggling and drug running and things like that. You can all store it in one location instead of having to go all over the map. I think that's one of the aspects of it. Entering prices are usually around, I don't know, 1.2, 1.8 million
mm-hmm.
Credits inside to buy a location, and then you start building up from there. Played a little bit of Street Fighter V as well. I've been through survival mode this time around, the extreme route. It's basically 100, if you can survive a single lifeline through 100 matches. One little aspect they put in there was that they allowed you to save your progress.
Yeah.
So I was able to, I got to round 33 rounds and just saved. And then next time I'll try to go from there to round 66, save, and then try to go for the last 34 at the end of the party if I get there. Other than that, a little bit more of Destiny. I think I've pretty much stopped playing the Crucible and trying to get legendary gear now.
No,
I've
just that's done, fine.
I'm just doing the Flashpoint and the Clan XP because that's still available, so I can get two good legendary items. Do that for each character, so six runs.
Why not the Heroic Strikes or the? Why not the? Well, I would say why not the Nightfall, but you really need to have somebody to go with you through the Nightfall. Although the Nightfall is very, you don't have to worry too much about the Nightfall. But why not the Heroic Strikes?
Feels tedious, really. Gets really tedious to me on that one.
Okay.
It does, especially with those.
What's your light level?
I put in there. Three, roughly around 352 to 358 on those. My Hunter, for some reason, I can. She always gets a bad break. She never gets the things that I really need.
Yeah.
So I get like some things built up, but not a lot.
Man.
But my Titan and my Warlock, they get the good stuff. So that's why I got a range between what I do now. If the Heroic Strikes didn't have those modifiers in there, messing things up, probably would do Heroic Strikes, but I find them a little tedious nowadays.
Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. So.
Yeah.
And I think they recommend you be like 360 or 370.
For Heroic Strike?
To do the Heroic Strikes, yeah.
Oh, I'm not there yet at all, though, yeah.
Nightfall is like 270. I mean, Nightfall is really low now. And they don't have a timer or anything else. Honestly, it's a quick run. The fact that there's no timer might be soloable for you.
Yeah.
What is the Nightfall this week? The Nightfall this week is, it's an Osiris. Well, PS4 gets the exclusive ones sometimes, so I don't know if they're doing that one. But I know the one on PC, it's the Tree of Probabilities. It's the one where you're on Mercury.
Yeah.
You go through the forest. But it's not the big Cyclops thing that goes around the room in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
It's that one, like, the enemy pops up, and then the real enemy jumps from the other side and smashes him, and then you fight him through three different rooms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about.
The Cabal.
Yeah.
Cabal guy in white.
Yeah, and it's got that one section where you get on your Sparrow and you drive through the little thing to get to the other part.
Yeah.
First time our Sparrow's got to jump.
Yeah.
Or it's like, here, go off that ramp. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen many failures playing with folks online during that. I remember the mission now.
I was doing some speed runs with that last night. Not just by myself, but doing it with some people I met on the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not. I want you on PC, man. As much as you play, I want you on PC.
Yeah, but I'd have to start over from. Well, yeah, start over.
I'm tempted to, like, if you get your PC built.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this. If you get your PC built, and you get a copy of the game with Forsaken. You know, you get the whole thing.
Yeah.
Forsaken comes with a light boost, so it'll pop you right up there. So that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pitch in. Others will pitch in and get you and buy you the other two light things so you can get your other two characters up there. Mm-hmm. If that was something you want to do. Some people want to play it over, some people don't.
If I do the Forsaken thing, that would be the time to get it for on PC because new system starting over. But I probably only do one character this time around instead of having a three that I'm doing on a PS4. Probably stick with Titan because that's the one I'm most familiar with and one I like more than anything else. So I probably do.
Which is good because right now I'm running a Warlock and a Hunter. I haven't started my Titan yet.
Mm-hmm.
I keep thinking about starting the Titan, then I'm like, well, I'm going to get that boost in the next one, so I'll just let that do. It's hard enough trying to manage three characters. It's hard enough for me to go through and what have I done on this one? What have I done on this one? What have I done on this one? So I just don't fool with it. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd love to see you on PC playing this thing. I really would.
Yeah, Forsaken would probably be a good jumping on point on PC for me, because that's how I did with Taken King on PlayStation, because that's when I started when all the stuff was put out before, and I just jumped on in the middle of it when everything was given on that first run. Other than that, that's pretty much all I've played this week.
That's it. That's all you played this week, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, just listen.
Right. For me, I will say that I have really only played Destiny. too, obviously. It's where it's just that's just where I go. It's just it's what I play. Mm-hmm. Last night, a couple of nights here, let me put it this way. There's another pinball tournament going on, just like there was last month. There's another pinball tournament going on, so I've been working on that a little bit. And really, I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it in the next segment. Not that I, because I'll probably devote an entire segment about that. But I want to talk about it in the next segment.
Okay.
But the Destiny thing I will talk about now. I apologize right now because I'm trying to post a link to our show in the threads so that I can get that out there so people can join in if they want to watch this. But I keep checking the threads, by the way, for this tournament because if I see it update, I get nervous. Did somebody beat my high score? I have to check. Did somebody beat my high score?
Assume that someone will. Because if it's like the last one, don't even worry about it. Just be ready to get another high score when you get there.
Maybe I'll tell you that in just a second.
Okay.
This is probably the highest score I've ever had on a pinball table.
Said that last time.
I know, and I was amazed at what I pulled off last night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to. I brought visual aids for the people watching on Twitch. Or on YouTube later. I brought visual aid so I could kind of describe how this whole thing works.
Okay.
That's
for next segment, yeah.
I'm going to talk about that in the next
Destiny.
Segment.
You want to get into Destiny.
Destiny, however, I don't know. I'm still playing the thing. My faction, Dead Orbit, that I was in didn't win. It was New Monarchy.
Won
the faction rally, which is fine. I didn't really care, but I did get my faction... reputation all the way up to 50, so I could purchase the catalyst for the Graviton Lance.
Yeah, I should have gotten to Dead Orbit myself, and I think I didn't even notice the catalyst thing because I didn't expect to get to 50 at all, and I didn't.
I wasn't
Future War Cult.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention at the time either. I was just like, hey, Future War Cult. I'm always going to be a Future War Cult guy, FWC all the way. So every time it comes up, I would just pick my same thing. I hadn't really. First off, I hadn't looked into it or become accustomed to how the whole thing works. And now with seasons and everything else, I kind of understand how it all works. A little late in the game to do it. But each faction, there's three of them, had a catalyst for a certain exotic weapon. I think New Monarchy had the Sweet Business catalyst. You know, the auto rifle chain gun thing?
Yeah, the thing I don't use.
No kidding, exactly.
That's basically the thing. The only faction that had a weapon that I actually used was Dead Orbit. Graviton Lance is something I used. The other two weapons that were available from the other factions, I don't
Graviton
have any
Lance
care for them, what to use.
I love the Graviton Lance, especially in Crucible. I just love it. I stand way back because distance is key on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're close, you don't do as much damage. But if you're far away, which is very strange, if you're far away, you can just 3-4 hits and they're good. You know, mm-hmm. they're done. But up close, it's a different story up close.
Yeah.
Which is very, very strange. I don't know why that is. But there's a certain distance between you and the enemy in player versus player where you're diminishing returns.
Yeah.
So if you get further away, it's great because it's hard for them to hit you unless they're also using that same weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But you're boom, 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 just knocking them. So really, really, really enjoying my Graviton Lance, which I got for the Dead Orbit. And then I got Sunshot with Future War Cult last time. So, working on that. I got my last week after the show, I went and edited the video and then... got on and found somebody to help me do the Whisper Quest, the one with the new sniper rifle that they had discovered. And you had to wait until a certain public event came around in a rotation. And when it did, then you could go kill a boss, a portal opens, you have 20 minutes to finish the mission, and then you get the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And it also unlocks the heroic version of that mission. So I was able to, on the second try... We tried it one time, didn't get it, so on the second try, I had to wait for the event to come come around again.
Was it Taken Blight?
Yeah, you have to wait for that event to come around again, and luckily it wasn't very long before it started spawning up again, and so me and the team I was with, we went in there, got it done, So I got the sniper rifle. It's pretty badass. 3 precision hits refill your ammo.
Okay.
So
max capacity?
Max capacity of the ammo. You can hold 4 shots in the sniper rifle. Sniper rifle itself.
Total.
Right.
That's clip plus reserves.
No. That's the reserves. You can hold 20, I think.
Okay.
17 to 20.
Okay. Does that also mean by full capacity, 3 hits and everything's filled up again? Or just the clip itself?
Well, this is the thing. 3 hits and it pulls ammo from the ether.
Yeah.
In other words, it doesn't pull from your reserves.
Yeah.
It just
magically reappears.
It just magically reappears that you have 3 shots again. No reloading.
Right.
Which is really good because if you've got to be able to hit those 3 precision
shots. Yeah, getting that thing is nice, but you got to be able to hit those 3 shots.
Yeah, so you can, once you go back through it to do the heroic version, you can kind of stand back in the room. If you've got time, you can stand back in the way back in the room and just keep hitting those shots with that sniper rifle and never have to worry about running out there to kill enemies to get ammo.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to replenish. Another weapon that you get from doing all that stuff on Mars is the Polaris Lance. It's a solar scout rifle.
Okay.
It's an exotic solar scout rifle. You'll get a bunch of different versions of it, but once you do all 5 steps, you will get the exotic version of it. Mm-hmm. The exotic version of that one also does primarily the same thing, whereas a precision hit reloads plus 1. Every time you get a precision hit, it's plus 1 back into your magazine, your reserves, basically.
Okay.
So that's another weapon that you can, but they're both exotic, so you can't use.
That's right.
You know, you can only use 1. So, but anyway, got the weapon, went back in, did the jump puzzles to get all the treasure chests that increase the catalyst on it, did the Oracle section, which got me my spaceship blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
Then went back and did the full mission heroic again. So that got me to full 36%, I think, for my catalyst progress. And it put the ARC version. The last week was ARC Singe, was the ARC modifier, I guess, for the mission. Mm-hmm. This week it's solar modifier. I did that all last night. Got all that. So I'm up to 72% on the catalyst. Mm-hmm. Next week is Void. And that'll finish it off for me, and I'll have that. So, got that done. A lot of fun. I think this weekend, like tonight, my hunter still has to do Crucible to finish off the milestone stuff, so I'll probably do that tonight. And I may do some raiding tonight as well, see if I can find somebody to do some raids with.
Mm-hmm.
And which ones, I don't know. They unlocked the prestige versions of the 2 other raids that they had released, the raid layers, so there's those, and I haven't done those yet. So I'd like to get those, at least 1 of each, under my belt and done with.
Yeah, because you're not a fan of raids in general, are you?
Actually, King's Fall was fun, you know? Mm-hmm. The one where you're in the Dreadnought from Destiny 1 and doing all that. And, you know, that was fun. We did that with our group was going through that. And even when we didn't, I was still finding people to go do it with. And I actually enjoyed that. And Wrath of the Machine was another one that was not too bad. This one, Eater of Worlds, is fun. It's shorter, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Spire of Stars, I haven't tried a second time since I was Sherpa'd through it. And by Sherpa, I mean they walked me, somebody helped me go through it. Wasn't carried. We were just a group of us who didn't know how to do it was taken by a guy who did, and he instructed us on how this is how the mechanics work. This is how it works. And we all got through it. Took a very long time, but we all got through it. I think with more experienced people that I go through with, I could probably, I don't want to say make that enjoyable, but maybe get it more efficient. Yeah, you know? It was weird, some of the people that I was playing with, and I don't want to knock anybody's ability to play the game, but one of the guys that we were playing with, and this goes back a couple of weeks, man, he had the markings that he had done. You can tell by people's gear kind of what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have a glow around their head, and you can tell what they've done. That indicates that they have done a certain feat or achievement. So he had done the prestige version of the main raid. I had done the prestige version of the main raid. One of those. I don't think I'll ever go back and do that again unless I have to. He had done that. He'd done Eater of World. I mean, he was up there. He's like 380, you know, full tilt, whatever. Had weapons, what he needed. And then we said, hey, are you wearing your certain type of boots that you need to wear that are really raid friendly? They're the Warlock boots. That when you lay down your rift, your healing rift or your empowering rift. Mm-hmm. Healing, obviously you stand at it, you get an overshield. Empowering just means you do more damage as long as you're on side. Yeah.
It gives you a little arc soul, a little
right.
avatar to shoot lightning for you.
But every one of those, your fire, your void, and your arc, they all have a rift that you can lay down. The arc ones happen to come with little arc buddies.
Right.
But if you wear, there's a boot called the Lunafaction, whatever. Anyway.
I think I know what you're talking about.
They're the Luna boots.
Yeah.
They add a perk to that. So when people are standing in there, they don't have to reload. You just shoot and shoot and shoot, and your magazine or your clip gets replaced each time from your reserves and everything else. You just keep going. And so we're like, do you have the... He didn't know what we were talking about. So he looked in his thing. He's like, oh, yeah, I do have those. I was like, how do you get this far? And not understand some of these things. I don't know. Like, I've learned that I need to find a couple of things for my hunter to make him better in the... Or her, actually, because all my characters are female on PC. To make her better in some of the raid stuff. I don't have it, so I've got to still go out there and, you know, basically wait for the randomness to throw me a bone.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple of things that I really need to get, and I should have been watching out for when old... Tentacle face, spaghetti face, Zur,
yeah.
Had him for sale when he comes by every week, but I didn't do that. So,
yeah. Look, it's not surprising that it's not surprising to me. But I mean, look, maybe he wasn't focused on supporting the team, things like that.
No, he did. You know, he did okay, but I will say he was the one person that was dragging us in that, and he was not low level. He was perfectly, you know, he was up there, and it shown that he had done some stuff. And it just kind of was like,
I just never did that one.
Yeah, there was a hint, though. There was just that whole hint of like, have you been carried? Have you been getting carried through some of this stuff?
Possibly.
And by the way, we mean carried means that they don't really have to do much. Somebody, they just join a team who's got experience and kind of gets them through it without them having to worry about mechanics and other things. So,
yeah. Experience. It's just experience to me because there's still people I find. Who don't know how to make certain public events heroic.
Right.
Or don't have the patience to make it heroic. It's either one of the two. Because a lot of times in taking Blight, I'm trying to get Blight Receding put on myself so I can take out the main Blight thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I get my weapon, I go in the thing, I go back and forth, and by the time I realize, I go back for the Blight in the back, and it's gone because three people took it out.
Here's the weird one about that. So there was a thread. There was a thread on the subreddit about that specific public event.
Yeah.
And somebody commented and said, early on when I was doing that public event, it would always turn heroic. And I was going through and taking out the little mini Blights, and it would still turn heroic. He wasn't trying to make it. He wasn't trying to end it.
Right.
He just thought the mechanic he was doing was making it heroic because it would always turn heroic while he was doing it.
No, someone was doing the work while he was
right.
He was inadvertently hampering the other person.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you meet people like that who do stuff like that, especially in that realm, they may not understand that what they're doing is completely wrong. Sometimes they're just being griefers. Sometimes they're being just, you know, the people you don't
like
want
to deal
with.
Just don't have the patience to deal with that. Just want to get it over and done with.
Some of them are doing it just to spite you. Mm-hmm. I will say the same thing. People got their sniper rifles, the basically the second spindle, whatever, the Whisper. Mm-hmm. And like I said, when you hit a crit shot, when you hit a critical hit on an enemy, if you hit three in a row, it refills your ammo.
Refills your clip.
So Titan happens to have the tank public event.
Okay.
Remember, and whenever you get the tank down, he extends his neck out.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole
the armory supply,
the whole giant part of his neck is a critical spot, right? Because that's the only spot you can hit. So people with the sniper rifles will just hit that spot over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
They melt that thing fast. I can do a public event on Titan, or at least with the tanks now, especially after it's turned heroic, By the time that second tank is dropped, as soon as it extends the neck for the critical hits, mm-hmm. it'll be gone in one wave.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be taken off.
Everybody's got the same idea.
Yeah. So it was nice to, so I got that done. Like I said, I'm going to do some rating probably. I'm going to keep an eye on my pinball score. I can tell you that. Because I'm, you know, just want to see if it's going to go. The thing's got like 2 days left.
Mm-hmm.
The tournament's got 2 days left.
Yeah, look, we said last time. It's like an auction on eBay. The stuff doesn't happen until the last 12 hours.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find a picture of that, and I will post it in the chat room, so you can see exactly where I'm sitting as far as the leaderboard's concerned. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We do have a theme for this one, but if I start telling you the names of these games, it's just you'll get it immediately. If you know me and how I do these themes, you might have an idea already of where I'm going with this. You might even have a better idea of when you hear the first track. So here's the thing, and I don't normally do this. I am going to not tell you the name of the game that it's coming from. You will likely know the theme of the tracks by just hearing a couple of songs here that we're going to be playing, regardless of where they come from. If it's guest in the chat room, and I don't think we got a lot of people in the chat room today. Never mind, I'm sorry. Lethal Migraine's there, Mumnuts there, Bam Daddy 44, Decaf Smurf, Commander Root, Bloodlust. What is that name? Banananan and AC Wraith, all in the chat room there. But yeah, this is going to be an easy get. So we'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. All the music this week has a theme, has a running theme. And if you know me, and I don't want to say you've got to know me too well, but if you know me and how I do themed through the music and stuff, you'll know, number one, I can be very vague at times.
I was about to say, think broadly.
You don't have to think broadly on this one. You really don't. But I promise you, if I were to go through here and tell you the names of these games, you'd have it figured out already. Which is not really a bad thing. Just like to keep you in suspense, I guess. So... Anyway, the other game, so the forums, and this is at resetera.com. They have some, I just frequent there for game news and whatever else, and so I was, last month I stumbled upon a thread talking about, hey, it's the It's the June pinball tournament thread, you know, it's their June tourney. And I was like, really? Oh, they're doing a pinball tournament? That's fantastic. So I looked into it. And they give the stats of like, here, you go to the tournament section, enter in the password, and then you play. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's awesome. So last month, I had a very exciting tournament time.
Yes, you did.
There was only like, I don't know, there was about 5 days left in the tournament, and I decided to play, and it was Aliens versus Predator was the table. I had never played it before. I got in there, played a good while of it, and then finally got to the top spot. And I meant to show you a picture during the break, and I didn't. I got to the top. Well, actually, I meant to show everybody a picture. I got to the top spot of the leaderboards, and you know, I was happy with my. I was happy with that. And then somebody came out and blew it out of the water, like 100 million more than what I had done.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh man. And I thought, well, that's good. That's good. I can't do it. So, but I came home. It was on a Friday. It was the final day of the tournament. There were, I don't know, 6 hours left in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's go ahead and try. Let's play.
Yeah.
I played and I played and I played and I took the top spot back with about, I don't know, 59 minutes or something like that. I don't know how many. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was left.
Yeah.
I think maybe 2 hours or something like that was left in the tournament, and I came back and got the top spot again.
How long did it take you to get to that big score?
It took a few hours to get there.
Okay,
with the
2 hours at the most left over, that was pretty likely wasn't nobody going to start then and try to take that spot from you.
Right. Yeah, and so I came away and did fantastic. Came back and won that tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So then they started a new one not too long ago. It was a 10-day tournament, and it started on, I can tell you right now, it started on the 19th.
Okay.
So it had 10 days, which, you know, here we are on the 28th. It's ending soon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many hours are left in it, but it doesn't have long to go.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier this week, I knew it was getting to it, and I didn't want to start playing it immediately as it started.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to, because I'll get up to a high score and think, "Wow, that's as good as I don't know that I could ever do that again." And then somebody will come back and just beat it. And I'm like, "Oh God, I don't want to have to do that again.
Yeah.
I don't have to get up there." That was so. So I just give it time. Plus, I'm very, very competitive when it comes to pinball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm extremely competitive in that, especially in a tournament. When I see a high score, I want to beat it. And I think a lot of these people who are playing in the tournament, they're just playing for fun, and I'm glad that they are. But I don't want to discourage anybody who's getting into that thing to say, oh, well, if they're going to keep playing, I don't want to do it if they're going to keep getting these high scores and that sort of thing.
Well, that's the nature of competition.
It is. I understand that it is, but I love it when more people play the game. I don't want to deter anybody from playing. I want them to get up there and play it, you know?
That shouldn't be your concern, man.
No, it's not, but I just love the game so much, I want people to play.
Okay, yeah.
And when I'm putting score, look, the score I got last night was ridiculous. It's just one of those things where it's just like, if I'd gotten the score 10 days ago when this thing started,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we'd have the 20 some odd participants who are in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's the thing. I don't want to scare anybody away from playing.
Well, it could depend on what prizes is offered.
Last month, there was like a gift card to Steam, which I still haven't gotten yet, but I don't really care. It was like a Steam, or it was one of those things. It's a digital gift card to, you know, the Steam database, or Steam, or the Nintendo eShop, or something like that.
Yeah,
Winner's choice. And I was like, I don't care. I just wanted the fun of playing, and it was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just there's me and this other guy, and it's the same guy I was feuding with last month.
I was about to say you got some hate mail.
No,
going
we
back
don't.
And forth.
No. By feuding, I just mean our scores keep, you know, frog jumping over the next.
Okay,
one.
Okay, yeah, you're battling each other. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what you're doing. Yeah.
And I don't know what his name is. I just see his avatar pop up, and I'm like, oh, it's, oh, no, yeah, because he did beat my score. I put up a score of 316.5 million points on this new table, which is Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, okay.
Yeah, the previous high score was 264 million, and I put 316. Not too much. I put that down, and I posted it in the thread, and it shows that I am currently ranked one, and I said this score can easily be beaten. I know it can.
That's why I said expect it to.
Yeah.
Get ready to play again.
So then old boy who beat me last time or who got a higher score, he came back with 395.2.
Yep. There you go.
And he posted, I'm going to regret not cracking 400 million, aren't I? And I said, I doubt you will. It doesn't mean I'm not going to try because, man, getting up to the point score that I had had earlier, I was like, man, that was oof. And so I sat down at about 6 o'clock last night, and I can remember because I sent a text at 6:11 saying my score got beaten. I'm going to sit here and try and beat it again. It's going to be tough. He almost got 100 million more than me again. Mm-hmm. And then I remember at 7:59 I sent a screenshot of my score. Mm-hmm. And my new score, 882.6 million.
That'll work.
I don't know that I've ever gotten a higher score in a pinball game, especially online. I don't know that I've ever gotten a higher score than 882. By the way, this high score does not transfer to the game itself. It only stays within this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So I will not be on the leaderboards of that table on the pinball effects thing, which is a damn shame.
Yeah. But you're leading in the tournament. That's what.
Yeah,
that's what you're trying
and that's
to do
another
right
thing.
Now.
If anybody friends me or anybody looks at the table, they can see where I've never actually put a score on this table because I've never played the table before.
Mm-hmm.
These two times that I played it were my first times playing this table, and I want to. And I did this. Excuse me for a second as I switch something here. So there's the table. For those of you who are watching on Twitch, You can see the table, and it's the Jurassic Park table in Pinball Effects 3. So I kind of wanted to go over some of the mechanics of the table and show you a little bit of how I got to, well, that kind of a score.
Mm-hmm. Plus million.
Yeah. Now, this comes from the assets from Zen Studios, who make the table. So what I want you to first do is not pay attention to the Tyrannosaurus Rex that is sitting right there in the middle of the table. Mm-hmm. Do you have it pulled up on your screen there?
Okay. It's on mine.
Yeah. That Tyrannosaurus Rex normally sits off over to the left side of the screen on a platform over there. There's an empty space platform right near the rail that goes around, and that's normally where he sits. When you activate this multi-ball, he comes out on the table and, you know, just roars and screams and gets in the way of your balls going where they need to go. So, pay no attention to that at the moment. This table, let's start over at the side where the ball actually comes out. There's a skill shot there. It's ridiculously stupid. You have to launch the ball off the ramp, as you can see, and it lands in a nest that should be there. It's not there right now, but a nest comes up out of that hole and moves back and forth, and you got to time it so the ball lands in the nest. And that's your skill shot. You get 500,000 points if you can nail that skill shot. This is not how you make your points in this game, so don't even worry about it. Try it if you want to, but don't fret if it doesn't work or not. The second thing you need to be made aware of is the drain lanes. Drain lanes are at the bottom of the table. There's the outer drain lanes, which give you no chance of getting the ball back, and then there's the inner drain lanes, which go right to your flippers. As you can see above them, there's letters there, R-O-A-R, so you can spell out Roar. If you spell out Roar, you activate MagnaSave. MagnaSave is a unique feature that's not in a lot of pinball tables, and it's also not in a lot of electronic pinball tables, or digital, whatever. MagnaSave is a magnet. It's one of the better saves, I think, in pinball, at least digitally, because of what it can do. Real-world pinball tables don't operate like digitized pinball tables do.
Nope.
Right. With a MagnaSave, you can save a ball that has literally gone off the table down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
I even activated some of the graphics that pop up whenever you do lose a ball, But still, I held down that MagnaSave, and that ball slowly came out of the drain and back onto the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
So this would not happen on a real-world table. It would only happen on a digital table like this. Mm-hmm. But MagnaSave is a neat little feature. It's a lot of the times when you spell out the letters in drain lanes, it activates a kickback. Kickback is something where if the ball does go down those lanes, a plunger will hit it and knock it back into play.
Mm-hmm.
The difference there being is that a kickback only, you know, only has it from where that plunger is to hit the ball. A MagnaSave operates everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if it's gone past it, the MagnaSave can pull that ball back into play. So that's one of the things you want to make sure you've got. The MagnaSave is going to save your butt so many times. So spell out Roar, get that done, get your MagnaSave active. After that, you want the ball to go down the lanes that show, you can kind of see the words MagnaSave over the O and the A. You want your ball to go down those lanes after you've activated your MagnaSave, because that will increase it. You'll get one MagnaSave, but if you keep hitting those, you'll get two, you'll get three, and then you'll max it out eventually so that you can have multiple MagnaSaves on the table. This is all well and good. Then, the key, the real big key, is the multi-ball. The screenshot that you see right now as you're watching on Twitch is already in multi-ball mode. So if you look at the two outer lanes, and by the outer lanes, I'm talking about the outer loops that are up at the top of the table. Those chevron-looking red arrows that are in those lanes.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to the inner one, because I see the inner one there, but I'm talking about the outer ones, where it says Stampede on the side or whatever. You'll see at the entrance to those lanes, it says Jackpot. That's where your ball wants to go. You get a jackpot. Once you activate this mode, every time your ball goes around that loop, you get 3 million points, regardless if it goes left and right or right to left.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get 3 million points each time you do it. If you look at the inner lanes, the inner loops, the one that has the red chevron there right next to a flipper, it's right... Where is it? I'm trying to give you an idea of where.
I'm saying look at the tip of the tail of the Tyrannosaur, and you see the two yellow circles there. And then
yeah, and then you
right.
see those red ones there. There's a flipper, and right outside that flipper, there's an arrow. You see that arrow?
Yeah,
that points?
Pointing left.
Yeah. So each time you can get a ball to make that loop, wherever you hit that thing and it goes around, your jackpot will increase.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get it to go from 3 to 4 to 5. Mm-hmm. You might can get it to go higher than that. I don't know. If you look, and you could barely see this, and I don't know how easy it's going to see from where you're seeing, but if you look at that arrow, that the lane's going right there, there's like a bunker-looking thing where those two orange dots are right there. If you could, when we were trying to tell people where to look, right by the tail, there's those two orange or yellow stoppers things, whatever they are. There's a word right near that bunker that says jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the super jackpot. Gives you 9 million points. The problem with this is there's a dinosaur on the table that's in front of that. So it's tough to hit that. It's tough to hit that one.
Precision shot.
Yeah. So it's very tough to hit. You get four balls on this one. There's actually four balls on the screen there. But you get four balls during this multiplayer mode. Your shoot again is active for a lot of this multiplayer mode. So when balls drain, they get put back into the field of play. But
so you don't need the MagnaSave during that time.
I don't even worry about MagnaSave during that thing.
Yeah,
do not worry about it.
Yeah.
It eventually goes away. The shoot again eventually goes away.
Right.
So your ball save does go away. But while it's active, the trick is to pay attention to that extra flipper up top.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you want to do is not worry so much about the balls that are down around your main flippers and getting the jackpots. Yes, try and get jackpots. But when a ball gets into that position, you want to pay close attention to make sure you raise that jackpot level. Because once you get going at 5 million points every time it hits, you're going 5, 10, 15, 20, 20. You can get 50, 100 million points off a single multi-ball.
Mm. Now, when you activate the flippers on the bottom, does that one at the top automatically activate as well?
In pinball, when you have multiple flippers, it's always on the side that they're on. So.
Okay. So
if there's an extra flipper that's towards the right of the field, it's going to be the right flipper that activates it. If it's towards the left, it'll be the left.
All right.
Yeah. So that's how the additional flippers work in pinball. To activate that multi-ball mode, you have to lock four balls.
Mm-hmm.
The way to lock them is, if you, again, if you look at the table, right under the Tyrannosaurus Rex, there's like a grating underneath his tail.
Right.
Like a little net thing.
Yeah.
That net lifts up for about, I don't know how long, maybe 5 to 6 seconds, and then shuts back down. Okay. That's your ball lock.
Okay.
So you got to get it under that net every time it gives you the access to do that. In order to get that thing to raise, you have to get your ball to go around the outer loop where those red chevron marks are.
Right.
The outer loop. It can go left. It can go right. Doesn't matter. But once it makes an outside loop, that thing raises for a little bit of time, yeah. And then you've got to knock it in there to lock one of the balls.
Now, you said that Tyrannosaurus is not in the position that it's on the screen.
No. Only during this multi-ball mode is when
okay.
he's up there.
Okay.
Otherwise, he's off to the thing. So you don't have to worry about him during the whole thing. Just, you know, that's fine. So those are keys, really, to do that. Keep your MagnaSave going. Get the multi-ball. That's really, that's the best strategy I can give you, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just to learn how to do that. Learn to get your ball into the ball lock.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough, but learn to do that. Another thing I would tell you or advise you if you're going to play the table is the extra flipper up there, the one I was telling you that raises your jackpot.
Right.
Anytime you're not in a multi-ball mode and you shoot that particular shot
mm-hmm.
that would normally raise your jackpot, it sends it into a... Oh, what's the term? Random prize.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot it in there, and it's got your little graphic thing will pop up on the side with a bunch of different prizes.
And some special event pops up.
And it does a random thing. It could be just, oh, hey, you just got 10,000 points. Oh, you got 20,000 points.
Yeah.
Oh, your MagnaSave is active. You know, mm-hmm. It'll do that, too. It'll randomly activate your MagnaSave. And I don't mean randomly activate it as in start pulling the ball towards it. It just gives you the feature.
It gives you another for your stock.
Right. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about trying to spell out Roar or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it'll open up the lock, you know, the ball lock, so you can get one in there. So, yeah. Anytime you manage to get the ball up there, always, every single time, always go for that random prize.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it drain past because you're trying to work on something else. Go for that main prize because it's going to benefit you almost every single time.
So don't waste the opportunity when it pops up.
But I just wanted to show off the table and kind of show how I got to where I got there and give you an idea of how that works.
Hey, is that Barbasol can on the field of play, or is that just there for show?
No, that's on the. It's not on the field of play, but it does. Okay. It does do a thing.
Okay,
right. It does do a thing. Not too much. It'll raise up and you know do a little thing, but whatever. As far as I know, when I was playing, it didn't actually do much.
Okay.
So
it's not something to think about in terms of trying to get that high score.
No, it's not. But there's a little. There's a little plunger next to it. There's a thing where it says pen. On the table, it shows pin right near the jackpot. It says P-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Raptor pin activator. If you shoot a ball and it hits that, then this is going to be hard to explain on the radio and not have some kind of pointer on the screen so you can show what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But just beyond that pin, there's this red area. Can you see the red that I'm talking about? It's not lit up.
Far left side of the screen?
Yeah, the far left side of the screen. There's right. this little red area there. It looks like a triangle type
thing. Is it next to the part that says Stampede?
You can see it. Yeah.
I see it, yeah.
Once you do that, near that Stampede, the wall opens up so that a ball can travel down that lane.
Right.
If you go around from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, a ball gets locked. And then, if you hit the pin plunger again, the pin actually raises up. And then if you hit the pin plunger again, the door opens and the ball gets shot in there, and then it locks.
Mm-hmm.
Three of those, and you have a Raptor multi-ball.
Any bigger than the normal multi-ball?
Eh, it's not too great.
Okay.
Yeah, the jackpots, they don't come as easy. You have to find the leader of the Raptor pack or whatever. So there's a lot of lanes to go through that don't actually do anything. There are jackpots in there, but it's not as good as the main multi-ball feature that's going to get you 3 million points or more every time you go around.
Stick with that one then.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, ball one, man. Ball one on that play, I had already gotten my high score beaten. My high score.
Yeah.
My previous one.
With one ball.
With ball one.
Ball one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Ball two... put me into the 800 million area.
Mm-hmm.
By the time that session had finished, my multiplier was up to 6, which is another thing that activates with the random prize thing, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
My multiplier had gotten up to 6. It was just a massive amount of scoring that was going on with that table. And ball 3 was nothing. Ball 3 was horrible. Compared to the other two, ball 3 was horrible.
You must have got tired. Fatigue started setting in or something. I don't know.
Let me tell you. No. I'm not kidding. Let me go back to the camera. Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Back to the camera. So I hold, I don't have one here. My Xbox 360, I play with an Xbox 360 controller and triggers. Don't worry about it.
Okay. You went out my bag.
I can show this. So let me tell you, this right here, this is sore. I can feel the movement of this down into this part of my arm.
Yeah.
I have aerosol deodorant. I put that on. I was like, because this hurts.
Yeah.
This hurts right now.
It's a lot of trigger pulling.
This right here hurts.
It's a lot of trigger pulling.
I don't think you can see it, but there's a little nick on this knuckle right here.
Mm-hmm.
That's from my hands being so close together and trying to save something.
Yeah.
I will sometimes nick it with
Scrape your knuckle, yeah.
Yep. With my other fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I got done with that round 800 and some odd million points. I was physically sweating. I really was.
Focus.
I was.
And how much time did it take you? Is it another 2 hour, couple hours running?
No. Well, I told you, I started at 6 and I got done at 7:59 or so. So 2 hours.
2 hours. Okay. Yeah.
Now that one play, that one, those three balls that I'm talking about, that didn't happen. That didn't take 2 hours to do.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That session was maybe 30 minutes. Maybe 30 minutes.
Okay.
Spamday says I did not know this existed. Now I've downloaded it and tried the Sorcerer's Lair. It's awesome. I can't wait to try it on my Xbox One instead of PC. You'll be happy to know, Spam Daddy, that the tournament, Pinball Effects is, if you do a tournament, it shares between PC, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. PlayStation does not like to be involved in that stuff, as we know. They don't like to play well with others.
Mm-hmm.
But the Xbox, the PC, and the Switch version, they all share scores. So when I go to high scores and look at that, I can see the high scores of people on Xbox, on PC, and on Switch as well. So, but this is, I love pinball. I love it. Physical tables, digital tables, I enjoy them all. Mm-hmm. And it's my go-to. So, let's see. We are really behind. Whoever is on the phone, and I'm going to guess this is Chris because they've been waiting for so long. Chris is the only one who will wait that long, which is great, and I appreciate that. So I'm going to answer the phone here during the break, figure out who this is, but we're going to come back, and we'll have more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be back. Welcome back two in game chat. You probably know what that is just from the fact of what they're singing. Yeah, Chris will. When we talk to him. Yeah, I'm having AC Wraith look up the... again, tournament scores do not cross over into regular table scores. So I'm very curious what the high score is on that table. If I can get up to 800 million on that score, the top scores have to be in the billion marks. If they aren't, I really hope they are, actually. Because if they aren't, that means that I could possibly take the lead on that particular table. But he's currently checking on that real quick. Let's go to the phones and talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much, man. What's going on with you?
Enjoying the pinball story.
I often mention that I play a lot of pinball, but I don't usually take some time out to sort of discuss tables in any kind of depth. And to do anything like that, so I was hoping to do that. But I appreciate everyone, giving me the time to sort of enjoy that for a minute and actually talk about it.
Hey, look, man, you make it interesting. So hey, keep going,
I hope
man.
So. I mean, I don't. It's fun for me. I don't. That's the thing. You never know if. Things that are fun for you, things that you enjoy, they're very, very subjective because, you know, somebody else may not like them. Somebody else may not be interested in them. I know that Lethal Migraine hates everything we do, but I don't. So I just, but he keeps showing up and we love him for that. But, yeah, it's just, it's a thing that I enjoy doing. So
yeah.
I can talk about it and I hope people can understand what I'm saying because it's hard for me sometimes to explain those things on vocally like this with pictures and if the Twitch thing could follow my mouse around, I could show you like, okay, go over here, you do this. There's a lot of better ways for me to explain it that's a little bit tough on the radio, so
yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate that, so thanks. What's going on with you?
Not much. I've been like last time I sent you the picture, I've been rearranging my room back at the cave, as you would say, and I'm about to send you another one on Facebook Messenger.
Okay.
And I had another shelf behind the couch and everything, and I've already got most about 70% of it already filled up.
There's and I know you're just talking about displays and stuff, but I noticed again, I follow that guy on Twitter, the Wario64 guy. He made a post about, oh God, I can't remember what it's called. And in fact, he did that recently too. Let me look this up real quick. What are they called? Arcade One Up. Arcade One Up are, they're kind of mini cabinets, mini arcade cabinets. Yeah, because when you look at them, honestly, when you look at them and they show them off as far as wanting you to buy them, they don't necessarily reference how big they actually are. They look like full-size cabinets. And until you put somebody in front for size comparison, then you realize, okay, they are not full-size cabinets. But they're building these cabinets, and they come with a lot of the classic games, like, I don't know, there's one that's got Pac-Man and Centipede and a bunch of, you know, Galaga on it and all these other things. They have a bunch of different games on one machine. It's basically a, what do they call them? MAME cabinets?
MAME cabinet, emulator, yeah. Thing like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a modded Xbox, basically that and then like arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah, MAME, that's exactly what they are.
A lot of titles on MAME, yeah.
But they're selling them now for like $300 per. Which is a lot of, I will tell you this, you're not buying that game, you're buying that cabinet that they built.
Yeah.
You're buying the TV screen that is put in there, and I have no idea if it's I don't know if it's an LCD, if it's a CRT, I don't know exactly all the specs on it.
Yeah, I mean, a buddy of mine does that, takes parts and builds his own cabinets and things like that. You know, put your own PC in there, put MAME on there, and that's all you need.
Yeah. So...
So it's really for convenience. Sounds like it's more for convenience than anything else.
Yeah, but you know, like you, you know, it'd be nice if we ran across some old original stuff like that. You know, old ones with the actual circuit boards for all the old arcade games stuff. But that's
vintage.
What I'd find more interesting, to find something original.
Yeah, the vintage stuff like that. Yeah, have that around. Like those. Didn't our friend Jeremy was talking about his Pac-Man? He got the cocktail.
Yeah, table. I think he got the cocktail table. And
cocktail
he,
table of Pac-Man.
Doing some stuff with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember, seeing those at the local local pizza parlor playing that.
Yep.
So I'd like to have something like that. I'd like to have that with a pinball table, and I've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a pinball table, gutting it, putting in an LCD monitor as the table itself.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. And then another LCD monitor goes in the back glass, what would be the back glass.
The back glass.
Mm-hmm. And then get a dot matrix display thing that goes towards the bottom. To sort of replicate the whole pinball experience, but it's all, like, you know.
Completely digital.
Yeah, completely
Speaking of digital. That, I think I remember seeing some advertised on the Facebook.
There is one. There is one. It's called Virtual.
Yeah.
I think it's called Virtual Pinball, I believe. Virtual Pinball, or VP, is it VP Cabs, I think is what it's called?
No, but I remember seeing, you know, and then I saw, oh, it's a digital one. I said, I haven't seen that before.
VP Cabs is the name of the company. Let me post you a link. Oh, nope, that's a,
Yeah, I remember seeing it here, one locally around in our area, or something came up locally, I think. May have been mistaken, but yeah, I remember seeing one on the marketplace here recently.
I'll throw this in there. There you go, virtual pinball. Basically, they make pinball machines exactly like what I'm talking about, but the price on these is much higher.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was like 10 times as high or something.
Yeah,
like around $3,000 or $4,000 or something.
The lowest now, they've got some different way. Oh, that's some interesting setups. They have arcade cabinet style, which is weird. There's pictures you can see on their website. But like full cabinet style, the cheapest price is $5,500.
Yeah.
That's the cheapest price for one of their cabinets. Which
is the highest on there?
The highest price for one of their cabinets? Hang on, give me a second. It's their Back to the Future table, which has got some nice graphics on the side of the table itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's running for $9,000.
Okay.
So, yeah. But those are really cool. It just feels like that's something I could probably do myself. I could probably buy an old beat-up machine, because I don't care about the graphics on the side of the thing. I could probably buy an old beat-up machine for maybe $1,000, maybe even less than that,
mm-hmm.
and then get it all done up and do what I need to do with it.
Functionality is your primary concern right now.
Yeah, I just want it to work.
Yeah,
if you ever wanted somebody with some tools and know-how with woodworking, give me a call, because that'd be probably something right up my alley, is to help you build the cabinet to house it all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Chris, thanks for calling in, man.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Take care.
Take care now.
Bye. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so AC Wraith looked up the score.
Yeah, it's on the chat room, yeah.
He says the single play all time is 59,399,000,000. So yes, it does extend. That's basically 59 billion points.
Yeah.
Which is good. I'm glad that's higher, because if it wasn't, I would be all distraught that I did so well on a table that. Which is why when I posted the picture in our thread for the tournament. And everybody was at awe, you know, like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. I said, you know what? It can be beaten.
Yeah.
That can be beaten. I don't want to say it's easily can be beaten, but it can be beaten. The thing is, on tournament play, there's certain things that don't come into extra balls don't count in tournament play. So while I can activate the extra ball and actually get the extra ball,
right,
I do not get it. I get the points for getting an extra ball, but I do not get the extra ball in tournament play. So, because I know specifically during last night's game, I think I got about 3 or 4 extra balls on a few of those plays.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have actually extended that story and just kept going, but you don't get it. You get 3 balls, that's it on tournament play.
Mm-hmm. Make the most of what you got.
Yeah.
And there you go. So.
Oh, goodness. What else is... I mean, there's other things going on. I'm sorry I got into pinball stuff. God, I love pinball. You know, we were talking about emulators, and Nintendo filed a lawsuit against emulator sites. Love okay. Retro and Love ROMs have been targeted in Nintendo's latest copyright claim. Two ROM hosting websites are the target of a recent lawsuit by Nintendo. Here's an explanation of why these sites in particular have been chosen out of the similar sites that exist. The Love ROMs website alone receives 17 million visitors each month. They are drawn by the website by widespread availability of free, unauthorized copies of Nintendo's video games and other highly valuable intellectual property. In response, Love ROMs has removed all Nintendo games, although games for other consoles remain available there, while Love Retro has effectively been shut down until further notice. The lawsuit in Nintendo filed says they are looking for $150,000 for each Nintendo game that was hosted on the site, and up to $2 million for each trademark infringement, as well as a handover of the domain names and the sources of their ROMs. So that's pretty bad. I don't want to say it puts... I don't want to say it makes Nintendo look bad or anything, but you're not going to get that kind of money out of that website.
Clearly not.
At all.
Not.
So, I mean, you're effectively shutting them down, and that's fine. But there's no way you're going to get anything like that. However, anytime this comes up, people like to point out something. The version of Super Mario Brothers that was on Nintendo's Virtual Console,
mm-hmm.
when people bought that and looked into it, it turned out to be a ROM from downloaded from the internet.
Yeah, so not a Nintendo original.
Somebody from Nintendo found a Mario Brothers ROM, downloaded it, and put it for sale on the Virtual Console
mm-hmm.
as a Nintendo licensed product, which, I mean, it is. They own the copyright to Super Mario Brothers. But it's still interesting that they sold you a ROM
mm-hmm.
that they probably got from a site like this.
Yep.
ROMs are where I got my Nintendo games from to put on my NES Classic.
Yeah.
ROMs are where I got my Super Nintendo games to put on my SNES Classic.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there are plenty of other sites that are offering these. Nintendo,
you know, it's basically, it's like any other site that has, I don't say pirate stuff, but any other sites that does these things.
Mm-hmm.
What's the term? You chop one down, two more grow in its place type situation. So, yeah. They're going to have to keep going after these, but even if they do, another one will, another one will pop up. So
Hydras, I think,
Yeah, exactly.
So people will still be modding their NES minis and Super minis and whatever.
Yes, they will.
They will.
I didn't play it this week, and I don't know that I'm going to get back into it, but I will say I'm arching my eyebrows ever so more than I did for No Man's Sky.
Hmm.
For the update that they released, the No Man's Sky Next
mm-hmm.
allows third-person perspective, allows three people to play together, to kind of see each other on planets. They've apparently made some massive overhauls that have really brought this thing into a more, I don't want to say realistic approach, but into a more something that was more along the lines of what they kept touting that they were going to have.
Yeah.
And
it's closer to what they promised.
It is very, very much closer to what they promised and feels like something that I'm every time I say there's a sale, what price is that one for now? Okay. Maybe wait for it to come down a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It's at $30 right now on Steam. Mm. And I'm like, maybe.
Mm. How about 20? Would that do it for you?
20 I'd probably bite.
Okay.
20 I might actually bite on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Right now, my time is filled with Destiny 2 and now pinball. I've still got Dangerous Driving or Danger Zone 2.
Danger Zone 2.
To play. What else was I looking at playing as well? I haven't gotten into my city building in a while. I kind of want to get back into City
Skylines.
It's
been a minute since you got into that, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of want to get back into that a little bit. There's a couple of other games that keep popping up in the news with some, last week there was news that all the microtransactions have been taken out of Shadow of War, the sequel to Shadow of Mordor.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, yeah, that game. I got that. I need to play that.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't.
Just more to add to the backlog.
Yeah, just every now and again, I kind of get a sense of, hey, why don't I play this instead of jumping back into Destiny again?
Yeah, I was thinking about, an example for me, well, I was thinking about Bloodborne recently, mm-hmm. because I still have not done the DLC for that. I did like maybe a third of a level and haven't been back since. So just another, just like I said, another thing to add to the backlog. And then I thought about Neo. I didn't get the third part of the DLC that released months ago. Haven't gotten to that yet.
Yeah.
A lot of unfinished business on my end.
Anyway, No Man's Sky did very, very well with 40,000 concurrent players on Steam with the update that they did. The Steam reviews started moving in more into the positive now. And it's half price now, so...
Mm-hmm.
Good to see all of that. Jumping it back over to Destiny real quick. I don't know that I... Part of me wants this, but part of me is wondering if I'm just riding a Destiny hype train at the moment. just because I'm so engulfed in it. But they're taking their lore, they're taking all of their story, and they're putting it into a bound edition, a book.
Well, the Destiny Bible.
Well, it's the Grimoire, I guess is what it's called.
Yeah.
Remember the...
Yeah, Grimoire.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, it's basically the story of the game that they didn't put in the game.
Mm-hmm.
In Destiny 1, for those who don't know, in Destiny 1, things you would do, you would earn, like, hey, here's, you earned a Grimoire. Go online to read what it says. And that's how you got more depth of the story than what was being told.
Yeah.
And the story of Destiny is honestly crap. There's no real way I need this.
Yeah.
It looks pretty, though, but there's no real way that I need this, except from Taken King on, at least in Destiny 1, from Taken King all the way to the end of that Destiny 1 game,
right?
That actually got a little better. Mm-hmm. That actually started to get intriguing. The artifacts that you would find, the 50 calcified fragment things that we were looking for, mm-hmm. those had a great story tied to them. They mm-hmm. really, really did. And it was hard to read because you'd collect them out of order.
Yeah.
So I'd be getting pieces of the story, and I always said, you know, I'm not going to go read this until I've collected all of them so I can go in the order that they were meant to. Mm. And now they're going to put this into a bound edition, and I'll post the story in the chat room so you can see it. And it looks like a really nice little book there. Mm. And so I'm giving it consideration.
Yeah. I think the only story I really looked at, well... I could look at, really, because I didn't go online for this, was the story tied to the exotics that you pick up.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear about different guardians and the storylines behind them.
Yeah,
like
I
forget her name, but it was a guardian tied to the that exotic grenade launcher.
Is this in D2 or D...
Destiny 2.
Okay. Which grenade launcher?
The one that looked like a dragon.
Oh, I know what you're saying. It does not go in your power slot. It goes in your energy slot.
Yeah. It was I think it was a story in there about
something lion.
Yeah. If I'm got the details wrong, it was about it was a female titan who dominated the crucible by hand to hand, just no guns, none of that, just fists.
Fighting lion.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And
thank you, drunk degenerates in the chat.
Yeah. And her whole thing was just basically punching anything, any enemy that stood in her way. And she got a lot of hate because she got a lot of success doing that.
Yeah.
And she would spend her time training by, like, just punching a mountain, I think it was, she was doing. So it was just weird things like that. And that was the first one I read, and I just started, so it was a habit of mine. Every exotic I pick up, just hit L2 and see what the story was behind it. So you see all these characters and how they interacted with each other and things like that.
I don't know that I think that lore will be featured in the book as well. I understand what you're saying. It lends itself to almost Greek mythology in a sense, because you're learning of what's they tell the story of previous guardians who wielded this weapon and made it what it is and all this other stuff.
Creators who wielded it, who had made it, things like that.
You're learning the origin of the weapon or the armor, and then that was some of the most interesting parts of the game, but you couldn't get them unless you went online for the most part.
I think Graviton Lance was made that and was like talking about imagining how what getting hit with a black hole would do.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, where are you going to test it? Crucible.
Yep. No, it's I enjoy those stories, and so that's it's $25 comes out this fall. I'll probably pick it up eventually.
Hardcover.
It is a hardcover. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It looks really nice. You know, it looks like I said, it looks nice. Looks nice.
Maybe just something to stick on the coffee table or something.
Yeah, you know. Okay, we're going to take a break here, and then when we come back, we will have the last little segment here of the show. And I'll probably tell you about the whole thing. I don't know. Has anybody figured out the theme for the music yet? I know I haven't told you what the name of the games are, because if I did, you would know. And you might know with this next one. You may not know what the game is, but I think you're going to know what the theme is with this next one. Remember, it's the way I do things. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This just keeps going on and going on and going on.
Yep.
Didn't have a lot of variation back then in the 8-bit days. Nope. You know what game this is from, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I told RJ in the break what the theme was for this week.
You had a guess, and it was close, but not quite, but yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so... you're going to know, I hope, by the time the one that closes out the show will be. And I'll play that for a little bit and then tell you what it is. And I'll go back and tell you what the names of the songs were, mm-hmm. or at least the games that they came from.
Yeah, I remember this game, the theme we just played, there was a game I was looking it up on eBay.
They did an update of it, I think, in PS2 days, I think, maybe.
Well, the sequel... Returns. They put the Returns at the end of it.
Okay.
It was a Saturn title. Sega Saturn? Sega Saturn import title made by Taito. And I tell you, man, that game was really, didn't get a lot of exposure, but it was really fun to play. And but I looked it up on eBay. That thing was like $250 to $500.
I'm looking here to see. So next month, which is Wednesday... Mm-hmm. We got Yakuza 0 releases next month.
On what, PC?
I don't. Is it already out on PS4?
Yakuza 0?
Yakuza 0, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's already out?
It's been out for a minute.
I didn't...
Are you talking about Kiwami?
No.
Where are you at?
No, I'm not talking about Kiwami. Okay, that came out March... What? March 12th. Maybe this is just the PC. No. What's coming out?
Send me the site.
The hell is coming out? It must be PC. It must be a PC version.
Yeah, because Yakuza 0 been out for a minute.
Maybe it's Kiwami 2. Is Kiwami 2 in August?
Kiwami 2 is coming soon, yeah.
Okay. I don't know these things. World of Warcraft expansion comes out. I've seen James playing a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Destiny 2 is under Battle.net. World of Warcraft is under Battle.net. So whenever I fire up Destiny 2, I can see what James is doing, and he's playing Warcraft.
Yeah,
I can see what Daniel's doing, and he works for Bungie, and he's playing Warcraft.
Yeah. Kiwami 2 says the 28th of August.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, it says Windows Yakuza 0, so yeah, it must be the PC release.
Switch is getting a Monster Hunter game, Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With some variation with all the DLC released or something?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Let's see.
No, there you go.
There you go.
Next Monster and Monster Hunter is releasing next week, too. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the Shenmue 1 and 2 come out
yep.
next month,
I
too.
Got that reserved.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The collection.
What else is coming out next month? I'm looking here.
Another Madden, of course.
Yeah, Guacamelee 2, which I never played the first one.
Hmm. That's game getting a sequel?
What?
This is the Police.
Yeah, it is.
That's getting a sequel.
Yeah. I have the first one.
Do you think the story was good enough to merit?
I haven't played it, man. Yeah, and understand, when I say I have something, I'm being very specific in that I have it. It does not mean I would say I played that one. But mm-hmm. I have not.
I mean, so. I looked at the story on a PlayStation Store when I was looking through on a Tuesday when new stuff comes out, and the story looks story was interesting enough, but I didn't think it was enough to get merit getting a sequel. But apparently, so it did.
I do not know because again, I have not played it.
Hmm.
So I don't know. So
another one of them Layton games, Layton Mystery Journey.
Really? Another Professor Layton? That's nice. I'm still working on Professor Layton's daughter's game thing.
Yeah, I think it says Layton's Mystery Journey, Catriel, and the Millionaire's Conspiracy.
This reminds me, we are about a month out from PAX Prime in Seattle. Mm. And this is the time of year, this in January when I go to San Antonio, when I actually get some gaming in my handhelds. Because that's the only time. So, yeah, I might jump back in on some of those. Which reminds me, I need to update all my handhelds. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
My 3DS, my Vita, which I don't know, whatever, I don't even take my Vita anymore. But it's about once a year, whenever I go in there and be like, does this thing need updates?
Yeah,
and it's usually the night before I fly out,
mm-hmm.
but I need to do that. It reminds me
much earlier.
Yeah, I need to remember to do that.
Yeah, night before, and yeah, you're trying to get your flight. Now you got 15 updates.
No kidding.
Yeah,
it's already like your flight's at 5 something in the morning. You have to be up at 4, and here it is getting like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and you're like, okay, let me charge these things. You know what? Let me turn it on and see if it needs updates. Oh, there's updates. You know.
Yeah.
So just so you can play it on the flight. So, yeah.
About to say, take a book.
I've thought about that, but I probably won't. Books make me sleepy. Reading makes me tired. It really does. On a plane, if I crack open a book and start reading,
okay. How about a graphic novel?
I will. It the same thing.
A comic book doesn't help either.
Yeah, it'll do the same thing.
Okay, order that Destiny Grimoire book.
Yeah, right.
That won't put you to sleep.
It won't be out by the time. It won't be out.
Unfortunately.
Which I wish it was because some of the devs from Bungie will be at PAX because they're based out of Seattle.
Oh, get it autographed, yeah.
And I get it autographed.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah. What else? There was something else in the news. It was our Games with Gold for August.
Oh, okay.
Where is it?
Oh, I never played those two that I got for July. Absolver and Heavy Rain on PS4, right?
What now?
The ones for last month, July for PS4.
Well, I mean, the month's not over with, so you can probably still get them.
No, I got them already.
Oh,
I just
okay.
Play them. I just put them in the library. As long as I'm a Plus member, I can get it any time, so yeah.
Did I not put it in here? Where is it?
Hmm.
Oh, there it is. Got it. I have to look these things in our little thing. Okay, so for Games with Gold, so this is the Xbox version of the free game thing.
Mm-hmm.
Next month, the entire month, Forza Horizon 2 will be free.
Mm.
Beginning on the 16th of next month, For Honor will be free. For the Xbox 360 sides that are backwards compatible with Xbox One, from the 1st through the 15th, you can pick up Dead Space 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the 16th through the 31st, you can pick up Epic Mickey 2.
Hmm.
So, yay. Huzzah.
I'm trying to remember the reviews that game got.
Yeah.
It was like kind of mixed, wasn't it?
The first one, Epic Mickey, actually got some pretty good reviews.
Okay.
That was on the Wii.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Epic, and it was exclusive to the Wii, and then Epic Mickey 2 kind of went, here, you can be on all your platforms. Didn't do as well, actually.
Right.
So, yeah. Marvel Ultimate Alliance, all of those games were delisted. Out of nowhere, without warning. They did go on sale just prior to being delisted, so you could have picked them up. I don't know how much on the cheap, but they were on sale. But now they're just... Licensing happens, these things, that's why something happens. You know, speaking of free games, Electronic Arts has discontinued their on-the-house program.
Hmm.
EA used to give away free PC games in their on their Origin store, which is on the PC, and they've stopped that.
Hmm.
Basically because Origin Access Premier, which we heard about at E3,
mm-hmm.
is kicking off on the... that kicks off Monday. Origin Access Premier. It costs $14.99 a month or $100 a year. It'll give PC users new titles 5 days before their street date, but gives you a wealth of games to play. Also, those free titles that it gives you 5 days before street date are the deluxe versions.
Mm.
Yes. That was something that was interesting about that. So you will get the deluxe. So when Anthem releases, you're getting Anthem Digital Deluxe. And Anthem's going to be a part of the Origin Access Premier. So you'll get to play this for free, $14 a month. It's a lot like the Microsoft Game Pass that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
$10 a month, you get access to all of these games. And sometimes they'll toss you a bone or two with new games. Sea of Thieves launched on the Xbox Game Pass program. Mm-hmm. State of Decay 2. Crackdown 3 is going to be a part of it whenever it gets here. So you're not actually paying full price for the game. You're only paying the subscription service, and you're getting the game. So it's not a bad thing. I just wish there was more for me to play, and there will be, obviously. I mean, when Anthem releases, I'm definitely probably going to go that route to pay $15 for a month just to play Anthem. Mm. If I like it, maybe I pick up the game, or maybe I just extend the subscription to go another month. Who knows?
Mm.
So we'll see about that. Interesting. So, what else was going on? You know, I'll do more Destiny. Like I said, I'll do that tonight. Going to do some raiding. Going to finish up my Crucible stuff. What else do we have here? There was something about a new... Microsoft's working on a new console. And that's kind of a big, well, duh type of thing for a lot of people. All the game companies work on new consoles. Yeah. But what's interesting here is that Microsoft's next generation of consoles may once again present users with a choice of hardware. But different between Xbox One S and Xbox One X that are currently in stores right now, Microsoft is prepping a traditional console, but also a streaming-only console, both for launch in 2020. They're being developed under the name Scarlet, and that refers to a family of devices. The streaming device, referred to in the article as Scarlet Cloud, would be less expensive and less powerful. However, in order to tackle issues of latency that have impacted previous streaming game services, Microsoft has developed a streaming technique that would see Scarlet Cloud handle controller input, image processing, and collision detection locally.
Mm-hmm.
The hardware required would likely make the device more expensive than, like, you know, Chromecast, Roku, things like that.
Right.
But it'll still be cheaper than a standard console. They report that all Scarlet games will be fully compatible with both the cloud version and the traditional version. Additionally, Scarlet Cloud is said to be further along in development than the traditional console. So, yeah, this is likely something new we're going to be getting here around 2020. Was it 2018 this year? So 2019 E3, you might get a little tease or a hint or maybe something, and then 2020 get the mm-hmm. reveal. Would this, what I'm curious about, is this going to be the successor to what is this, the, not, I don't want to say next generation.
No,
I kind of want to throw generations out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Because these things are developing so fast and frequent now with 4K and everything else. I don't even know that you can, I don't know that you can separate console generations anymore. Obviously, you could in the past. I don't necessarily know that we're going to be doing that here in the future. I have no idea. It all depends on how they take it. If they release this thing and call it the Xbox One Cloud, then you're not getting it. It's kind of like when Wii went to Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't feel like a generational step. It just felt like a sidestep and one foot forward.
A slight update.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Slight update. Kind of like that, you know? Like, I don't feel like... let's look at it in phone terms. And I'm going to reference iPhones here because it's the only thing I'm familiar with. But mm-hmm. iPhone 7 to an iPhone 8 doesn't feel like much changed. And I could be wrong because I'm not thinking right, but... there's not, I'll tell you this, there's really not much of a difference between an iPhone 8 and an iPhone X or an iPhone 10. There's screen differences, obviously. There's the facial technique. Those are obviously differences. But I don't think it's a generational leap. I don't think it's something that's, that could warrant saying, oh, this is in a completely different ball game, you know, different category than what already exists.
It's like I think about it with a, PS4 and a PS4 Pro.
Same with an Xbox One and an Xbox One X.
One X, yeah.
You know, the One X is just like, hey, we can do 4K. PS4 Pro is, hey, we can do 4K. Yeah. You know, although the X beats out the Pro as far as the 4K is concerned. That's only on paper. Does not matter. Has nothing to do with any kind of purchasing choice you should ever make. I want to always stress that whenever I say one console is better than another one. Yeah. Statistically, on paper, with stats and specs and everything else, that is not how you should ever buy a console.
No, with your library.
No, exactly. Never. That used to be the question, man. That used to be, you know, you were here for this.
Yeah.
You were here whenever we switched generations and people would call and ask, well, what's better? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's better, but I don't want you to base your decision off of what's better. You don't need to buy what's better. You need to buy what you're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Take it from a guy who has a lot of crap that he doesn't touch. He doesn't play anymore. I don't even like to think about it. I don't even like to think about all the stuff I have that I don't do anything with.
Yeah, it's like a...
If I ever did a culling, do you understand? Do you know the amount of stuff that would go...
Yard sale.
Let's even put aside the digital stuff that I have that I can't really cull, you know, that I can't really... necessarily get rid of.
Yeah, you could have a yard sale in your front yard right now.
Oh, easily. Mm. Easily. The thing about having yard sales, though, is that I want it all gone. So it's like, you know, sometimes when you're done with a yard sale, you've only gotten rid of a few things.
Yeah.
But we got time for, we need to take a quick call, very quick call. And I don't have a phone screen here. So, hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
Hey, it's Leah. What's up? Or SpamDaddy44.
Oh, hey, man.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Just a quick tidbit. I've got a friend in New Orleans that's a programmer. When he went to the games conference, he said a buddy of his with, I can't remember the name of the software company, but they are doing some test games for Microsoft. And he said he couldn't officially say that, but apparently Microsoft is thinking with the success of Switch that it may be time to go on the move with a home console.
Oh, you mean like some kind of mobile device? Some type of portable thing?
Portable Xbox.
Right, so I'm wondering if the streaming thing is what they're, you know, is what they're going to kind of prep for it. But he said they're developing some apps and some tests. Not full games, just with different, you know, things to test, I guess, their hardware connectivity or whatever. So something's out there that Microsoft has, but...
I
think it's interesting.
I know, it's very interesting, I know how... I mean, Nintendo is, I don't want to say they've set a precedent, but when Nintendo does something that gets noticed, a lot of the other companies try to do the same thing. The Wii with the Waggle, whenever it released, it was just the rage and obviously whatever. So the Sony folks said, okay, let's do the camera thing and let's introduce the PlayStation Move. Microsoft introduced the Kinect and said, okay, we can start and do body stuff and move it around. Then the VR came. That wasn't necessarily a Nintendo thing, but they're looking into the VR stuff. But Nintendo's Switch thing is just amazing. And it's done phenomenally well for them, better than what the Wii U did easily. But
exactly. And, you know, what better time to test the mobile market when you've never been in it?
Well, that's true. Microsoft has never been in that outside of, you know, what they do with their Surface pads and things like that. But as far as the gaming stuff, they've really, the Xbox division, I guess you could say, never is, they've never touched portable gaming. You do this stream thing where it's all in the cloud. If you make the content, seriously, if you're putting something out there that's not necessarily the size of a Roku, but if you're thinking in that realm of something that is not taking up a lot of space on a shelf,
yeah,
that's right. Easy to be like, let me just unhook this, and take it with me.
Yeah.
You know, you also think about their, a lot of people don't realize you got the Rift and Oculus and PS4 as far as VR.
Oh, you're cutting out on us, man.
I said Microsoft has their own VR system. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Yes, they do. I don't know that they're doing...
I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing much with it, though, because I played a little bit of it last time I was in Seattle. I can't remember what it's actually called, Windows Augmented Reality or something like that. I can't remember.
Yes, but, I think that's right.
But they've got that out, and what I played, I enjoyed. But I haven't heard any more of that. Maybe I'll try and do that this time when I go back to Seattle is... Hopefully get some more time with that and get some more information as far as
that's what I'm saying. Hopefully you can dig something up with that little tidbit. Maybe it'll be enough to pry somebody open. So.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the
Love
call.
The show, guys.
Thank you, man. Mm-hmm. We're going to wrap things up anyway. Mm-hmm. All right. So that will do it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. Thanks, everybody, listening on the stream and on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. And you can join us on Twitter, on Facebook. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can subscribe to our Twitch if you're watching us right now. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. If you're on Discord, we've got one of those. So join us there. So thank you, everybody. And we will see you next Saturday. Here's your last song. This is going to be really a big giveaway as to my theme. What's it coming out on? Just two? Okay, here we go. So... this is obviously Spy Hunter, right?
Yep.
I played GoldenEye, Elevator Action. What was the other ones? Spy versus Spy. Mm-hmm. No One Lives Forever. Perfect Dark. Zero, I think, was from that one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's all games that dealt with spy stuff.
Yeah.
Because I went and saw Mission Impossible yesterday. So that was on the brain. So there you go. We'll see you guys next Saturday. Have a good one.
Oh.